Welcome back to Queer Christian Family Values, QCFB podcast, where we promote the affirmation and inclusion of LGBTQ plus individuals in the Christian faith. I'm your host, Alex Birchnell. We were on a bit of a hiatus since season one, but we are back. Today's episode and two other that follow is a pre-season launch series. Before we get started, let's thank our amazing Patreon supporters, Michael, Rebby, Bash, Jamie, August, and Megan. Without your monthly support, this wouldn't be possible. If others would like to help out our show, head over to patreon.com/QCFB. You get all kinds of perks such as outtakes from the show, full episodes, early Patreon exclusive episodes, stickers, and so much more. Start now for just $1 a month. Lastly, before we dive in, go subscribe to all our social media, including this show. Doing so helps our platform, and other platforms see that we produce important content, and it'll allow more individuals to experience our affirming content. So thank you all, and please enjoy the episode. Today, we have Debbie McQueen on the show, who is the author of the Dragon King series. And I'm just going to read a quick book synopsis of it, and then I'll let Debbie introduce herself. But so here we go. It says, Raiden is the firstborn son and heir to the throne. When his father is injured, the weight of the crown is heavier than ever. At 17 years old, Raiden isn't sure he can live up to the king's legacy. Egan is a dragon who appears human. He works for his family as a blacksmith. The secret he must protect keeps him from getting close to anyone. After a chance encounter, Raiden discovers Egan's secret. They form a friendship forged by trust. It soon blossoms into something neither of them expected. The strength they find in each other may just help them rise up to meet their destinies. And Debbie, I'm grateful to have you on the show, and if you would, go ahead and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, and we'll kind of dive into kind of how you got started on this and what the journey's been like. Take it away.
All right, sounds good. Well, I'm Debbie. My pronouns are she, her. I am a wife. I've been married for almost 19 years, and we have two teenagers. We're in Southern California, and I'm a lunch lady by day and writer, indie writer, obviously, which quarantine has been a big help for me. It really gave me a lot of time to focus on writing and got a lot more done than I ever thought I could. And besides that, I volunteer with a Kiwanis Club, which is the first in Southern California that's focused on supporting LGBTQ youth. And on top of that, I also have a group of moms that we, when there's Pride events, which we can't wait for them to happen again, love going to Pride events to give out free mom hugs, something that I'm very passionate about, and decided to work that into my writing as well. So that's what brought me into the Dragon King series and where we're at now.
Well, I'm grateful to have you, and even more grateful that this series even exists. Being that it is a queer focused like characters, like how did you even get started in writing this kind of book, if you wanted to share?
Yes, as a cishet woman, I know that's a really strange take to have, but I have a lot of family members and loved ones that are LGBTQ, and I am an avid YA reader. I love YA books. It's my favorite genre, but I felt like there was this lack of representation in main characters. A lot of times you see the LGBTQ people reflected in side characters. They're the best friends. They're the sidekick, or they have the tragic stories. And I just wanted to have that epic love story, that hero tale that you have in most YA stories, but represented differently. That's really what brought me around to the idea of the Dragon King series. I actually started with the tiniest little spark of idea of a dragon shifter who is male as human, and then the dragon is female.
Yes.
And yeah. I started with that as a representation of for gender diverse people. I know it's not exact, it's not the best because of the dragon aspects in it, but something that's not cishet normative. something different. And then I wanted to show a really sweet male-male romance that wasn't sex-driven. It wasn't angsty. There's no coming out drama, which is needed. There's a lot of people that face that, and to see that in a book is important. But I also wanted to show the other side of just the acceptance, and that there's no negativity or hatred towards it. And that's really important to me for my loved ones to see that in writing, for my friends to see that in writing. I think representation in media is extremely important, not just for the people that need to see themselves, but for others that need to see different stories as well. I think we can learn a lot from fictional characters because it kind of gives you that insight into a personal story that you don't normally have when you're just meeting somebody across the street. So that was what sparked the idea for the Dragon King series.
Yeah. Like, so I'm a avid reader. And so I'm always reading books. Like, if anybody looks at my personal page, I'm always talking about the different books that I'm reading. And unfortunately, a lot of the books that you come across that have LGBT characters do have, like you mentioned, there's some sort of, we call it trope, where either it's homophobia, very sexualized, just a lot of stuff that not very many people really want to read about, or at least, I mean, it's fine if it's sprinkled in every once in a while, but good Lord, like, that's not in our entire experience. And I love that we're starting to see more of a wider range, more healthy romantic interests. For instance, I know this isn't book related, but it's like show related, you know, like Wynonna Earp. You've got Waverly and Nicole, for anybody that actually watches the show. And it doesn't focus on them as like, oh, you know, that's the entire focus of the thing. No, I mean, yes, of course, they're going to like show the experience and whatever, you know, like you would with a straight couple. They're going to like, oh, does he like me? I don't know. What do I do? But and then having supportive parents, which is something that is showcased in the book. I mean, I'm trying very hard not to give spoilers, because actually I have the book right here. And I've read the first book. I'm waiting on my second book, but it's nice to be able to see that one of the parents so far that we've seen reactions to has been extremely positive. It's honestly, it's really interesting how you chose to write this, because the sexuality really isn't addressed in the book. It's more of just, oh, well, you like boys. Okay. Nobody cares. Like it's as if it's a straight couple.
Exactly. And that's what I think it should be. I don't think there needs to be all the heaviness and the, oh my gosh. And the, you know, what are we going to do about this? And I try to really focus any hesitation or doubts towards their positions, because one is royalty and one is not. Mm-hmm. So if there's any hesitations, it's towards that. And also maybe not knowing if the other person feels the same, but I really tried hard not to ever have it be because they're both boys.
Yes. And I'm really interested in your second book, or you've got even a third, and then you have like a novella as well with that?
Yes. Okay. I have, the novella just came out.
Yes.
The novella is the story of Egan's parents. So his father is a dragon shifter as well, and that's where he gets his dragon side. There's a moment in Of Heart and Wings that Egan is explaining his female dragon to Raiden, and he talks about this sort of like flashback to a conversation he had with his father. That moment was really what made me want to do the novella. So I really wanted to show that from the father's side. And the father has a lot more hurts that he has to overcome. He has a lot of family trauma that's not LGBT related necessarily, but might be relatable.
Yeah.
But it's in that he has to learn to embrace himself and his dragon side. And then he meets Aislinn, Egan's mom, and she's strong enough to help him do that. And so it got him into the place where it was like, I don't care what my child is. I don't care male, female, whatever other options there might be. I don't care. This is my kid and I'm going to love them no matter what. So I really wanted to tie that conversation into the novella So there's a really sweet moment in that towards the end when we get to see little Egan, who's adorable. but we get to see his father kind of explaining that to him and really empowering him with who he is. Mm-hmm. And that was important to me. So my novella is sort of my love song to the mama bears and papa bears and allies who help embrace and empower their kids. So that's where I'm at with that. But I have the third book is actually going to be coming out in April. Mm-hmm. And there'll be four books total in the main series. So the fourth one will be coming this summer. Like I said, I got a lot of writing in last year.
Yeah, no kidding.
Benefit. Everybody gets the whole series this year. And then I'm actually currently working on a novella for Harla. She is the commander, the king's commander. She's mm-hmm. the first female commander, first one who's ever been in that position. And her love story, her love interest, has to do with the with a female medic who is also very strong and sort of the top of her field as well. So I'm really enjoying that story. It's a lot different than the rest, but it's a really cool story to share. They're both adults. They're not teenagers. They're both very set in their ways, but also have some room for companionship and learning what that's like. So anyway, that's sort of the overview of the series at this point.
I like that you talked about the commander, because you were like, yeah, they're very set in their ways. And I'm like, well, if you read the book, yes.
Yeah.
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
I really truly enjoy it. I'm nearly positive when I started reading. So when I read, if I'm into it, I cannot put it down. And I can definitely say that's one of this book I did do that. I'm nearly positive I read it in a day or two, maybe two, possibly, because I was busy. But like when I sat down and read it, and I remember my husband coming in and I was reading and I was supposed to be sleeping. I'm one of those people. And he's just like, I'm going to take it from you. You don't go to sleep. But it was very entertaining. And then when it ended, I was like, where's no? and that's always like a positive. Those are the kind of books that I search for in anything that I'm going to sit there and read and enjoy. It's, you can like just nothing else around you anymore. Like you're really deep into it. I love how detailed you are about the different like sceneries and culture and traditions and all these other stuff. Yes, it is kind of like a almost medieval type setting, but it's got a lot more to it. Cause when you read books that have medieval settings, they all tend, like it's all tropes in a sense, but not really tropes, I don't know if that's the right word, but they all have like these themes where the knight rescues the princess. And in this one, it's not really rescuing each other. It's more of just supporting each other in the decisions that they have to make. And I like that they communicate and all that. I mean, of course, they're going to fight. I mean,
yeah,
couples fight. That's and plus, they're teenagers. I mean,
yeah.
They're going to have to figure that out.
They don't fight very much. It's not a, they have moments, of course, because, you know, there's always moments when you're trying to share your life with somebody and you know you're going to come at it from different directions, but it's not confrontational or mm-hmm. there's not a lot of conflict between the two of them, and you'll see later on they really shore up next to each other, but I loved kind of taking the tropes that you said, like the knight rescues the princess from the dragon. Well, I was like, well, I'm gonna have the dragon save the prince, actually. So which is how they first meet, and that kind of just becomes part of their story, and I loved just sort of playing with that concept.
I loved it too. And so since I know the first book was released at when? I can't remember.
It was released October 11th.
You're like, I know the day.
Well, it was coming out day, and I think it was the 11th. So
oh, yeah, okay.
Out on coming out day, because I felt like that was appropriate.
That was really cool. And then this recent, so you've got the second book. I call it the recent book, but technically that's not the recent.
It is. Book. I mean, I did like two really close back-to-back.
Yeah.
Fire is the second book in the series, in the main series. That came out January 24th. So it's still pretty new. It's only a couple weeks away. And then the novella is called Breaking the Chains. That just dropped on Valentine's Day. It was my sort of surprise to do on Valentine's Day. Basically because I'm impatient. I had it done and I'm like, I just want to get it out there.
Yep.
Do it.
If I was a writer, I'm pretty sure, like, even just doing like episodes for the podcast and everything, I'm just like, I mean, it's done. I could release it now.
Right.
But and then my co-host would be like, we have a schedule. We have to.
You can't give everybody everything right away.
Yeah, it's like, you can't just dump it. Give them crumbs.
Yeah.
But let's see what else we got.
Well, can I say something really quick?
Yeah.
Bound in Fire, the second book, is in Of Heart and Wings, we see Raiden and Egan form their friendship. And then towards the end, of course, it deepens and they realize that they mean more to each other than just friends. Mm-hmm. But in Bound in Fire, they're coming back home after traveling. And so this is where we really see them kind of settle into what that means for them, what their lives are like. With Raiden as a prince, he has a lot of responsibilities. And Egan has to figure out how to fit into that. And I brought a lot more of the family into the second book, Bound in Fire. So I really loved that about it. We really get to see them spend more time with both the king and with Egan's parents. And it's a lot more of the acceptance and inclusion. And King Roddick, Raiden's father, really just brings Egan in. He's just like, okay, I see that this is someone important to my son and I'm going to make sure he's here for it. So, and then of course there's a lot of other stuff going on too. There's a war that's coming and there's all this other stuff. So there's drama in a way with what's happening around them, but for Raiden and Egan between them, I would say that there isn't really too much drama. It's really, I mean, sort of figuring out how they fit into each other's worlds, but really the drama has to come with situational, what they're facing as a realm, as royalty, what that means. And there's a lot of changes that come after the war that I can't tell you about.
Yeah. No, I'm like, please don't ruin the second book for me.
No.
I haven't read it yet. Something that I really find interesting is with Egan, you know, he's got his stepdad and mom, and he's got like this really I don't want to call it necessarily toxic, but kind of relationship with his stepdad. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that there can be some sort of healing there for the two of them, or at least maybe not healing, but at least better than what it is. And the fact that, like, they have no clue about the two of them being together. They have no clue. Wait, I don't think they have a clue.
Well, they, Raiden and Egan really kind of get together during the journey at the end of the book. So that nobody's really seen them together.
Yeah.
So it's back and like, oh, by the way, you know, this is a thing now.
Yeah, because I was remembering the scene of, like, the parade coming back from... Mm-hmm. I'm like trying not to say it for the readers that, so they're coming back from somewhere. They had to go away together with a bunch of soldiers, but now they're coming back and they're parading into town. And literally everybody from town has like arrived inside the walls for protection. And his parents or his step, Egan's stepdad and mom are just like, what's going on? Why are you like riding with the prince? I'm confused. Mm-hmm. In this nice getup too.
Yeah, exactly. Dressed very nicely, riding in with the prince. It's a whole thing. It's a big show. But it's, I mean, they all come around really quickly. For the stepfather, I know that he's not likable at all in the first book.
No.
it's founded on years and years of misunderstandings, and he doesn't know about the dragon side, so that's been kept from him. And there's been a lot of frustrations coming along with that. So you'll see a bit of an arc there. And it starts in Bound in Fire and continues after that. I won't share because it's all spoilery after that. But you'll start to see a change in him, like especially now that you see Raiden and Egan coming into town together, this big parade. It's real. He's understanding that, like, okay, this kid isn't just messing around and doing whatever when he's gone all night all the time, because he doesn't understand why Egan, you know, is gone all night as a dragon. But, you know, he starts to understand, like, okay, I gotta step back a second and figure out what's happening here. So you will see some changes with that.
Okay.
It won't stay as bad as it was in the first book.
That makes me feel a little bit better, because I'm like, there could be so much better. And I also am curious, in the novella that you have between Egan's biological father and, mm-hmm. and mother, like, if that tells more of a reason why it was kept such a secret. I mean, I get that him knowing could put it, you know, there could be a danger factor, but I wonder if you're going to go more into detail, maybe?
In a way, I sort of, not really.
Okay, I mean, that's fine.
In the main series, it's in the first book, you learn what happens to Egan's father, and he is not in the picture anymore, as you can assume with a stepfather in the picture. But he, it becomes a matter of safety for Egan, and his mom was still healing and hurting and grieving for a long time. So having Egan hide his dragon side was really important for the safety aspect. In the novella, Sloan, Egan's father, he has to hide for a much different reason. And so there are some comparisons between that, but it's not in, maybe not spelled out as much. It's more what the reader can take on from it. But Sloan has, like I said, he has a lot of hurts in his family, and a lot of it comes from the dragon side. And so he has to learn how to embrace that part of him. So him having to hide it in the past wasn't for safety as much as it was the only option.
Gotcha.
Which you'll learn more about if you read it. But
yeah, <I'm> like...
so there are similarities in it, but it doesn't necessarily spell it out any more than what you already learn in Of Heart and Wings. Bound in Fire, it may come up again as well. So you'll learn more through that too.
Mm-hmm. I was like flipping through, seeing, because I'm sometimes mark spots, but I think I've been so afraid to like highlight or touch anything. But I'm super thankful for you even coming on, because this was a really, really good read. I like the cover art.
Yes.
So who did your cover art, by the way?
Her name is Cassandra Fear. She has a page called CNA Designs. And I got lucky. I was looking through a lot of different artists. There's marketplaces and stuff for book cover artists on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And so she actually had a lot of artists will make pre-made covers. So if you have a specific genre or whatever, you can look for a pre-made cover if you don't really know what you want. And you can buy something that's already made, and they'll just customize your information on there. So she had these pre-made covers that had dragons on them, but it was really dark and it wasn't the right fit for my series. But I was like, oh, it caught my eye. So I started talking with her and I was like, well, here's kind of what I want to do. And is this something that you think you can do and you can work with? Because I had the idea, I really wanted it to be, if you're not familiar and it's not visual, it's the cover is focused around a heart with a crown, and then there's dragon wings on it. So those simple elements represent the main characters in it. And I used the heart and the crown as, I can't think of the word, I'm sorry. Anyway, it ties in through all the covers throughout the series. So every cover in the series will have the heart and crown, and then different elements on the book change. But I really like the symbols and shapes and styles versus characters and stuff on a cover. That's my personal preference. And I really wanted something to reflect the sweeter side of the series and not just a dark cover as the ones that I was looking at. So I had a really, really horrible mock-up, because I'm not a graphic designer, but of a general concept. And I was like, can you do something like this, but way better? And she did. She did an amazing job. I've gotten so many compliments on the covers. And I just got the cover for book 3. So I will be doing the cover reveal for that in a few weeks. And I'm super excited. It looks really cool. And yeah, it's been amazing. I've had a really great response. I've had readers who told me that they read it with their kids, which I love, because it's clean enough to do that.
It is, yeah.
It kind of intenses in heat throughout the series, as relationships do, but it still will be fade to black, to where there will never be bits and parts detailed and what's happening exactly. It's kind of left to the reader's imagination. Because I really wanted it to be where younger teens could read it, and not just, as we mentioned before, so many LGBT books are very sexually driven, which is fine. That's great. There's an audience for that. There's a need for that. But I wanted something that could have a broader audience. So I've had responses from teachers who had copies in their classrooms that they shared and lent out. And one student that said that they really just wanted to keep the book because they loved it so much.
Well, that's great. Getting really kids cool to read.
Yeah.
If growing up, if I could have found books that reflected even a little bit of something that I could relate to on identity and orientation and different things like that, I think I wouldn't have been confused and not have even attempted to come out until I was like 19.
Yeah.
I may have been able to figure myself out a little bit earlier. I mean, I'm not going to change my life. I wouldn't wish that, because, you know, I am a firm believer, if I were to go back in time and change one thing, I wouldn't have, you know, what I have now. So
yeah,
putting that out there. But this is a good leeway, not what I said, but what you said. you're going to be releasing on, I'm assuming it's going to be your social media that you're going to be releasing the cover. Okay. So where can people follow you, find you, buy things, all that?
Okay. So Facebook is weird, but you can find me on Facebook, but you know, they often hide things. So it's not everybody sees everything that you put, but author Debbie McQueen on Facebook. I tried to keep it really simple, so it's the same across the board. Instagram, I'm a lot more active, and it's a lot easier to see the people that you follow. So again, author Debbie McQueen on Instagram. I will actually be going live on Instagram on March 7th for my cover reveal for book 3. Going live is not my favorite thing. It's new. I just did it for the first time on Valentine's Day for the novella reveal. But I'm trying. I know people like to see faces. I am a real person. Sometimes it's nice to see a real person behind an account.
Yeah, totally.
But anyway, so those Instagram, I'm the most active. Facebook, of course, too. Like I said, it's just weird. Facebook is, they like to hide things. I started Twitter. I don't really like it, but I will pop in there on occasion and throw something on there and just walk away. So
if you're on Twitter, you can post to your Twitter account from your Instagram. Post to Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all three.
I haven't connected anything because I just haven't gotten that stuff done.
Technology is crazy, I know.
So on Twitter, I'm author Debbie McHugh, MCQ, because that's as many letters as it let me. Mm-hmm. I do have a Discord server now, so you can find my link through my link tree on Instagram. So that way, if you want to just have a place to chat about the books, just general chat. I even have spoiler pages on there if you really want to like talk about that certain moment in those books, and you don't want to spoil it for other people. So you can find me on Discord. That's new. I have teenagers. They helped me.
Teenagers on our Discord too that help us. Like, I don't know how Box works. So
everybody should have a teenager available for
yes. I'm just now 20. I'll be 30 in July, and I already feel like technology has surpassed me. I have always been I know how to do all kinds of stuff. I do media for our church. My organization relies on media, but there's things that have just surpassed me significantly, like Discord. Like, there's this kid, MJ. She can get all kinds of bots to do all kinds of automated stuff, and it can delete curse words. It can it can filter and check out people that want to join to make sure they're not trolls, like all this other crazy stuff. And I'm just like, I mean, you do you, because I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. So, well, my daughter is my moderator, so you know.
there you go. So I feel like I have to pay you now, right?
Yeah. Let her live. I think that's good. No.
So where can people get your books?
Okay, so on Amazon is where you're going to find all the ebooks. It's Kindle exclusive so that it can be on Kindle Unlimited, which means you can read it for free. All of my books are on Kindle Unlimited now. The paperbacks can be found anywhere that you can search up a book. So you can go on Barnes and Noble. You should be able to go to retailers, and they may not have it on their shelves until there's a lot of demand. So demand it. So it's on their shelves.
Call places.
They should be able to look it up. I know even internationally, a book depository can be found on there. So the paperback is available through pretty much anywhere, but the Kindle book, the ebook is Kindle exclusive. I do have a website where you can buy signed paperbacks, and that's going to be U.S. only though, because shipping restrictions and costs can be really high for international. So for both of us, it saves us money to just keep it in the U.S. So that is authordebbiemcqueen.com. And I do actually have my Instagram connected to that account. So you'll see all my Instagram posts show up on there. But that's a place where you can get signed paperback copies. And beyond that, yeah, I think that covers all the where.
Yes. I was just like, okay. But Instagram's is your bread and butter, basically.
Pretty much, yeah.
Social media. Okay, got you.
That's where you really need to like come find me, or email. My email's open. I really don't mind if people email me. It's authordebbiemcqueen@outlook.com, because I'm old and I've used Outlook.
At least you didn't say AOL or something like that.
No. Actually, what's really funny is my mom still has a Juno account. I don't even know if you know what that is.
I don't know what Juno is.
In the 90s when internet was just starting. She has that account still. It cracks me up.
I'm like, I don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Imagine floppy disks, and it probably was around the same time.
So before I do the outro, do you have anything else that you want to add or say or discuss? Or yours? No. Like, I don't know where we are anymore.
I have a million books in my head.
Oh, no. So actually, that's the question. Do you plan on writing anything after you're done with this series? Or right now, are you just like so focused on the series you have no idea?
It's kind of both. which is a contradiction. Mostly, it's hard to see past this series right now. I can see how there are several spin-off ideas or things that I could do with it. Different backstory things. I finished writing the fourth book, which is the final book in the series, about a month ago. And there's sort of a backstory thing that revealed itself while I was writing that was like, oh, this could be fun to spend some more time in. So I'm not really sure yet. I do have a couple ideas. I have a sci-fi I actually started last year and then sort of put it aside and didn't write anything for a while until I got this idea for a dragon story, which when I started, I thought it was going to be one and done. I thought I was going to write one book, one story, and that was it. And then I got to like near the end of the first story, I'm like, it's not done yet. I got to keep going. And then I was like, oh, well, it'll be a duology for sure. And then I was like, no. Okay, a trilogy. It's definitely going to be a trilogy. And then I got through halfway through the third book. I'm like, there's too much left. I got to do another book. So it really surprised me how much this grew. But I also have this other story that's sort of kicking around in my head for a main character that has something like alopecia. It would be, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's generally like a hair loss. A lack of hair on the body and the head kind of thing.
It's an autoimmune disorder, isn't it?
Yes, I believe so. Mm-hmm. And I had this idea of having like a cat type shifter where the feline side, like the mane or the whatever, is sort of like a status thing. So for her to not have any hair, then it would be really unnerving to figure out what it would be like when she is able to shift, and so far she's not able to. So I'm kind of playing around with that idea, and then it ends
really cool
where she is something different. I don't want it to be like magical hair fixes everything, but I want it to be like she's different and better, like stronger and not, you know, lacking because she doesn't have hair.
Like more powerful than everybody else.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's I'm cool. Kind of playing around with that idea. There's been a few things that have sort of like popped into my head for that, and I keep writing notes down. But mostly right now, it's just really focusing on dragons. I'm really enjoying writing in this dragon world and all the things that it's brought about. It's been really fun.
Great. Well, I'm going to jump into the outro and then, yeah, I mean, I appreciate you even doing this.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Debbie, for taking the time to talk, and thank you to our lovely listeners for getting us to this point, being able to go into a second season, and it's amazing. And every subscriber that comes through and listens and shares and does all the things for us, it helps us get out there and be shown to all the fun analytics of social media land, that people actually care about what we have to say and care about our content. So I want to thank you, and keep doing it, keep sharing it, keep listening, subscribe all over the place. We are on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, just every place that you could possibly get a podcast. We're on there. Listen to us, share us. I think I've said that enough. Please let us know what you think by reaching out to us on Instagram or Facebook. You can find our username. It's Queer Christian Family Values. Or on Twitter, you can go to QCFVTweets. You can go to our website at queerchristianfamilyvalues.com. Email us, queerchristianfamilyvalues@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and have a blessed day.